I'm always grateful, always sometimes even amazed at what you do and what you've done in my life. I thank you, Father, for the never-ending patience that you've shown with me. I thank you for the guidance, Father. I thank you for the leading of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Father, for salvation at a time that I really didn't know I needed it, but looking back, Father, I want to thank you because I really believe in all my heart that I had not gotten saved, and when I gotten saved, I wouldn't be here today. So, Father, I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for this congregation, every member we have. There are no unimportant members in this church, Father, just like in your kingdom. There are no unimportant saints in your kingdom. So I thank you, Father, for allowing me to be the under-shepherd over this great congregation. Father, I speak life over them. I speak health over them, victory in their life. I speak, Father, discernment so they can see the errors of their ways, and they'll correct them themselves, and they won't need a committee or a group to correct them. They will see plainly what they'll need to do and fix it, Father. Father, I want to thank you, Father, that your word will go forth accurately, boldly, with power. And I want to thank you, Father, that my mind is alert. My body is strong, Father, and my lips are anointed. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Praise God. Once again, definition of faith. I had two definitions. One is to have complete trust in someone or something. Complete trust, not partial trust, but complete trust in someone or something. And I'll give you an example. You have trust in your, if you paid Duke anyway, you have trust that when you turn the switch on, that the lights or whatever type of appliance or whatever that you have plugged into that socket will come on, because you believe in all your heart that if you pay your bill, that Duke will send power to your house. And so that's trust. A definition of faith, it is a, and I like this better, it is a positive response to the word of God. In other words, if God says that you heal and whole, then we respond positively by acting like it, talking like it, walking like it, and believing everything that God has to say concerning that matter. And that's one of the things that I like. Even though I do have complete trust in our God, I do love this definition. And so when you react positive to the word of God, one of the things that we have to understand is that after you get saved, you know, we're made out of three parts, spirit, soul, and body, spirit, soul, and body. I am a spirit. My spirit is the only part of me that became new at the new birth or at salvation. As a matter of fact, God loves us so much that our spirits are no different than Jesus' spirit. If you're born again, your spirit is a carbon copy, the exact same as the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's just how wonderful and how completely our spirits are saved. Now, we have two other parts that we got to work on. The other part is the soul. The soul is a little complicated because there's a lot of things wrapped up in that soulish package. That's where your mind is, your will, your imagination, your emotions, feelings, and all of those things are in your soul. Now, the Word of God instructs us, and indeed, in a way, commands us that we must and that we need to renew our minds. Our souls have to be renewed with the word of God. In other words, we have to reprogram how we think, and that reprogramming must be based upon what the word of God says. So if I'm going to have faith in order to have a positive response to the word of God, then I need to know what the word of God says so that I can respond to it in a positive manner. And that's why Bible study, saints of God, in church and women fellowship and everything else that we do that is word generated. That's why all of those things are so, so very important. And you got to understand that we serve a good God, and but he wants us to trust in him. Amen. He wants us to trust in him, and so we've got to do it like he says. So, you know, but a lot of people miss out. They're missing God because, see, the gospel is simple, and we think that it is so complicated, but it really isn't complicated. If we just do what God asks us to do, follow the direction that God gives us, we'll be a whole lot better. And just like the power of words, if you can understand something that's one of the things that we all need to understand is the power of your words that you speak over people, that you, especially those that are related to you. And you got to speak the right words. You got to speak faith building, character building, motivational words over your children. And even though they may not be acting the way they should act all the time, you know what you're going to say about them is nothing but good. Your words are powerful. It says that life and death is in the power of the tongue, and that's why my words, see, when I leave here, you can monitor me, put a bug on me, you will never ever catch me cussing. Why? Because my mind has been renewed in that area. But it's a whole lot. But there are people in here that when they get mad, they will curse you out. And that, you know, that says one thing, they're not close enough to the word of God. Amen. That's all it says. It's not an indictment. It can be fixed. But there are signs all over the place when you're not as close to, can y'all hear me? That we are not as close to God as we can. Because if cursing is real easy to you, and you're doing it, I'm not talking about it, you know, a little word slipping out every now and then. But if you find yourself every week you cursing, then you need to get a little closer to the word of God. Amen. And then you have to ask yourself, well, why do I need to curse? Is my vocabulary that limited? Then I can just use those few words? And so there's a lot of things you can find out and ask about yourself. Because a lot of times people use profanity because they don't know how to express themselves in any other way. Amen. In other words, they got a real, how do they say that thing, Ms. Bird? A real teenage vocabulary. And so what we're going to do is that, and the biggest part of that is profanity. And so, everybody can fix it. Amen. If you stay close to God. Now, how, you think they're going to be cussing in heaven? You think Jesus be cussing every now and then, just cuss some of the angels out? Say, Gabriel, come here, let me cuss you out. No. Then why we act like that? Jesus is our role model. A lot of times we act like that because we want to have our own way. Amen. In other words, we unchecked and we are out of control. Amen. Because why? We don't have faith in allowing God to take control over our tongue. You know, James said the tongue is an unruly thing. It's a hard thing to control. But if you turn your tongue over to the Holy Ghost, glory to God. Because how can you spew out salt water and fresh water from the same well? Ask yourself something. Are you really in the Word of God if cursing is just so easy? My, my, my. And I know I used to like to curse. Amen. Glory to God. And my flesh probably still do. I just don't let it do it. Amen. So I know how I know how it is. Glory to God. There are three cooperative powers that I want to talk about today that works with our faith. Three cooperative power. And that's hope, love, and patience. All of these three are part of our faith. You got to have them all if faith is going to work for you. Amen. And keep in mind that it is the enemy that corrupts our minds and that allow us to have mentalities behavior below the standards of God. And so, but then we'll blame, Pastor, I didn't go to college. College people curse probably worse than folks that don't, that didn't go to college. You can't blame it on the fact that you went to jail and everybody in jail was cursing. Can't blame it on that. Because a lot of us grew up in households where everybody was cursing. Amen. So it's, if you always got an excuse for something, then look in the mirror and say, it's me. Look at your neighbor and say, have you looked in the mirror lately? Amen. So you got to be for real with yourself. Glory to God. Either you're saved or you're not. Are you going to act saved? Or do you act saved just on Sunday? Just when you're with church members? Or, when you get away from church members, do we act like everybody else act? So that's how you can tell. That's how you can gauge your own self. I ask no show of hand of anything. That's how you can gauge where you are, is that when you're not around us, you got a whole different demeanor, a whole different attitude. Amen. That tells a whole lot about you. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I finally think I'm having a breakthrough anyway with this sinus thing, and I've got some, been taking some stuff, and it's loosening it up. So if I cough or need to blow my nose or something, I'm just trying to get this stuff out. I don't want to be swallowing nothing. So please understand. I don't want to sound gross or nothing. I'm just trying to tell you where I'm at. So listening audience, hopefully y'all can understand what I'm talking about. Praise God. Amen. So hope, love, and patience, these are kingdom forces. And they all work together with our faith. All work together with our faith. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hallelujah. Make up in your mind that you're not going to let the enemy corrupt your mind. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're keeping our minds right. I tell you, if you just want to do the right thing, God will show you how to do the right thing. It doesn't mean that you're going to fall into perfection overnight. And that's why I'm here. Y'all know what Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 and 13, 14 and 15 talk about. That's the reason that we have pastors. The Word of God tell you exactly why you need a pastor. Because you're not mature, and you need to be brought into a level of maturity as well as unity. Amen. And most places are far from, certainly from maturity, and probably even farther from unity. And so sound like I got job security for a while. Amen. Now, Hebrews 11, 1 says, now, everybody underline the word now, if that's your Bible, if you got a Victory Bible, don't write in the Victory Bible. Now, underline the word now. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, when is faith? It's not tomorrow. It is always now. You believe you're well when? You believe you're prosperous when? You believe your spouse is saved when? You believe you got the job when? See, now faith is. And always understand that faith is always now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Glory to God. The substance. Now, if you got something that's got substance, you can touch it. It is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Glory to God. So when faith produces that which is in the unseen realm, you will have substance, i.e., or evidence. Amen. But the Word of God said this is a substantial thing that you, but while you're in faith, you're still doing what? You're hoping. Yes. Yes. Amen. You're still hoping. So you always want to have hope. Always want to have hope, thanks to God. See, faith will bring substance to what you hope for. And who was that, Jesse? Said, keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. And keep your hope alive. You're always, you know, you're standing by faith. But it's, you know, that's why when you find folks, when their hope is gone, oh, my goodness. When you see a marriage where the hope is gone, you see a relationship where the hope is gone. Boy, it's hard to fix stuff like that. It is. It's hard. Well, if you don't have no hope, glory to God. And that's why it happens a lot of time in hospitals. Folks just give up hope. Amen. So the best thing that we can all do is just stay out the hospital. Whatever you do, try to stay out of the hospital. I mean, if you got to go, you got to go. But stay out of the hospital. Amen. Go to Romans. Let's go to Romans. In time, see, in time, faith will bring evidence to the thing that you're hoping for. What you hoping for? Say, I ain't hoping for nothing, Pastor. Well, what you got? Nothing. Well, your faith working perfectly. Your faith is perfect. You ain't hoping for nothing, you ain't got nothing. So your faith is working perfect. And then, remember what I said at the beginning of the lesson about the simplicity of the gospel? People hear this and say, hey, it can't be that easy. It is, the what? Did God say it? God said it was that easy. Amen. Now you're trying to get your unrenewed mind to analyze what the Word of God says, and it ain't happening. You got to look at it from a spiritual standpoint. You can't analyze the Word of God like you do an atom or a virus. You analyze it based upon what the Word of God says and ask the Holy Ghost to help you with discernment or understanding. Glory to God. When you start doing that, things will work out for you. Things will work out for you. If God said that your faith is important and it'll give but hope will give substance to it down the line, and exactly that's what's going to happen. So when you're in faith for something, you always keep your hope up as well. Amen. Always got to do it. We got this financial class going. You got to have faith and you got to have hope. You know, because, you know, we let our stuff get ragged and then we get mad at people that tell us, no, you can't have no new car. And then we, you know, you do everything with your income tax money but pay your bills. Girl, I'm getting that $400 pocketbook. Well, go right ahead. Got a $400 pocketbook with nothing in it. Nothing in the bank, nothing in the credit union, ain't nothing in the retirement account, but I got a $400 purse. Looking good. That's a word for that, but I ain't going to say it. First part of it is rich. No, the second part of it is rich. I ain't getting into that, though. Trying to start. Romans 4. Y'all found Romans yet? Verse 16, it says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. See, faith accesses grace. What is grace? Grace is a common definition. Grace is the undeserved favor of God. Everything that you ever need, can ever dream of, in a million years can ever desire and or want is already available to us. You say, yeah, well, where mine at? It's in the unseen realm. Glory to God. The question is how can I get from the seen to the unseen? And that's where your faith comes in at. Faith is the bridge that allows you to go into that unseen realm and appropriate those things that God has already given us by grace. All the healing that we ever want is here. All of the prosperity ever we want, all the joy, happiness, peace, whatever it is you want to fill in the blank. All of those things are already here, and it's been provided by grace, which happened at Calvary over 2,000 years ago. You have to access, and you will access it by faith. But you got to believe what the Word of God says. Amen. And then you got to keep your faith strong. See, faith is, liken faith to a muscle. You have to continue to work muscles, or they'll get smaller, and you become weaker. And your faith is the same way. If you're not constantly using your faith, it won't be as strong as you need it to be. So in verse 16 again, it says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham, the faith of Abraham. Abraham was a Jew, and we, the Gentiles, have all the blessings of Abraham. So, in essence, we are Jews, but not by blood. Amen. We're not blood Jews. We're spiritual Jews, because God blessed Abraham beyond his wildest dreams. He was Abram at the time, about 100 years old, wife about 100, and he told him he would be the father of many nations, had no children. Having children at 100, wife had a womb never had yielded anything, and first of all, he told him to leave his kindred and relocate, that he got a better plan for him. And then God just kept blessing him and blessing him and blessing him with silver and gold and cattle and land and on and on and on and on. And he was a powerful man. And in Galatians 3, that says that the blessings of Abraham's belong to us. Now, you got to believe that. That's what faith is. You got to believe that you have the blessings of Abraham. Or you're going to say, well, no. In my family, ain't nobody. Well, see, you in a new family. You talking about your earthly family. Now, everybody may be broke in your earthly family. You know, all the women in your earthly family may die before they're 55. But you're in a new family. And you're setting a new standard. And the first thing ought to be out of your mouth, I ain't dying before I get 55. So I don't care who died. I'm not dying. See, you got to be fully persuaded that the Word of God works, and that it works for you. Amen. You got to make up your mind that you don't care who it don't work for, but it's going to work for you, because you done fell in love with it. You're reading it every day. You're meditating on it. You're singing about it. Glory to God. You're being blessed beyond your wildest demand. Money coming to you from the north, south, east, and west. Glory to God. Amen. You can afford a $400 purse, but you don't want one. Glory to God. Don't want no $400 purse. Glory to God. My. The blessings of Abraham. You got to believe it. God has left us. That's what I was telling you about this grace. All of that is grace. What did we do to earn that? Neither what did you do to earn that? Nothing. What did I do? Nothing. God's grace. That's how much he loves his children. Glory to God. Or if you can understand that. If you can believe what Pookie say. And he ain't never kept his word. Never. Why can't we believe the Most High God? God, it says in Numbers, I am not a man that I should lie. Glory to God. Glory to God. God cannot lie. They say, well, God can do anything. Well, he can't lie. He cannot lie. Ain't no lie in him. Glory to God. Ain't no lying in him. Why do we believe all of this stuff men and women tell us? And then when we sit in the Word of God, you know, we got to go all the way to the Pope. Well, Pope, what you think? Well, the pastor done already told you what the Word of God says. Woo, my. We miss it because we miss it. Amen. See, you have to recognize the value of having the fivefold ministry. You got to recognize the value of having a pastor, because one word from God out of this pulpit will change your life. Will change your life. Will set your whole life on a different course. And God loves you just that much to do that. Amen. If you receive it and do it God's way. Somebody check the front, please. Amen. So verse 17 says, as it is written, he says, I made you the father of many nations. Now, written where? Written way, way, way back in Genesis. I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickened. That word quicken means to make alive. Amen. It means to make alive. Who quickened the dead. And calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now you say, call those things that be not as though they were. So you have to ask yourself, what be not in your life? Well, you say, well, I'm broke. Well, you have to start saying, I'll never be broke another day again in my life. You saying that, you ain't got but 38 cents in your pocket, nothing in the check. Matter of fact, your checkbook negative. You're scared to look at it because it's negative. In other words, when you put $100 in there, they're going to take whatever that negative out to equal, you know, and so that $100 may only be $25. Glory to God. But God is good. Amen. He is such a good God. Man, I'm getting too excited. Glory to God. He says, call those things that be not. Golly. Be not. That be not. What be not? What be not? What be not? Ooh. See, Abraham learned two things about God. Number one, that he will quicken the dead. He quickened Sarah's womb that was dead. You know, almost, can you imagine that? You didn't have no children when you was in your 20s, 30s, 40s, or even 50s. Now you about 100, and God finna tell you, you finna start a family? But he learned two things, that God will quicken that which is dead. Amen. You don't have to be talking about graveyard dead. Amen. Amen. And he called those things that be not as they were. Abraham didn't have none of that stuff when God called it. Glory to God. But he called it. And then see, it took Abraham faith to believe that what God told him was going to come to pass. And everything that God said, every promise that God said, every promise that he made to him has come to pass. And he made us a promise. Us talking about the Gentiles, that All of those same blessings that Abraham got belong to us. Boy, that's running home good news. You say, I'm just going to leave the car in the lot. I'm running home after church. Amen. What happened to my Thank you. Thank you. I'm telling you, stuff draining left and right up here. Praise God. Keep it coming. I got a whole lot of napping, boy. I might use this whole box before I'm done. Once again, I don't even know where this sinus stuff come from. I never, ever, ever had sinus problem. Don't have it now. In Jesus' name. Ha ha. Call those things that be not as though they were. Hallelujah. Ooh, so you always, man, oh man, oh man. Verse 18. It says, who against hope believed in hope? In other words, I'm 100. Why should I be hoping about having a baby? But who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken? So shall thy seed be. God spoke it. He had faith in God's word. And even when hope said that ain't possible, he said he is hope, a believer against hope. Because, you know, there's always stuff when good news comes. Every time good news comes, the enemy will try to talk you out the good news. But bad news, he will torment you and say, this is it, you don't come to the end of the road. So you got to understand there's a war going on, saints of God. Everybody in here, whether you want to fight or not, you are in a war. There's a spiritual war going on between your ears. All the decisions that you make are based upon what you think about. Whatever you think about the longest, that's what you'll do. Amen. If me and Jay sit here and think about robbing the bank long enough, y'all will see us on CNN News with bandanas. Say, don't that look like that's like Pastor and Jay? I'm going to have a wig on, though, because if I don't have no wig, that's a dead giveaway. That's his head. See, whatever you think about. Amen. That's why you got to reprogram what you think about. If you think about getting even with somebody, you at some point you're going to get even with it. No matter what it costs, it may cost you 5 years of your life, but you're going to get even. Amen. Glory to God. Teenagers, if you think about messing up, you're going to mess up. Amen. Let me tell you something, parents. Okay, how good you raise them. If the enemy get in them and they want to mess up, the only way you can stop them from messing up, first of all, you gotta build a basement in your house. And you gotta put some bars up on the windows and get some ankle chains and chain them in. That's the only way you're gonna stop that. Any other way, they are gonna do what they're thinking about. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that you are a bad parent. That means they are making bad decisions. That has nothing to do with your ability to raise good children. Because we're all free moral age. You understand that, parents. They're going to do what they want to do. That's why we try to get the word in them. And hopefully that word will stay. Amen. Glory to God. Hopefully it'll come out like the psalm says. Is it Psalms or Proverbs? Train them up in the way they should go. Amen. Amen. That's what you can do. You just make sure the word get in them. Glory to God. And then that's what you got to have a good, you got to be practicing what you preach. Amen. You can't be trying to teach one thing and you're living a whole nother thing. And that's a whole nother sermon. Glory to God. And then it says in verse 19, and being not weak in faith, which means that my faith has different degrees. It can be strong, it can be weak. The word of God says, he considered not his own body, now dead, now dead. Amen. But God does what? Quickens. Glory to God. And he wasn't talking about graveyard dead now. Amen. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Amen. Mm. See, but if you don't have word, you have weak faith. No word, weak faith. Either weak faith or no faith. And that's why we're missing out on the promises of God, because we don't have word. We don't think it's important enough to be in the house of God on Sundays and Wednesdays and whatever else days. We don't realize how important the word of God. The word is like air. You cannot afford not to have word coming at you every day from some particular angle or from somewhere. The word is just like air. You need it. Amen. See, she won't be doing that long. She won't be doing that long. It's like air. You need it. And if you don't understand that, we be like CMEs, Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. And then we happy with that. But when you get to the point where you fall in love with God like you fell in love with Pookie and Ray Ray and Slim and all the mother folks and stuff, oh, your life starts to change. Then it'll change so much that the Holy Ghost, if you will allow him to do, because he's a gentleman, he will send people across your path that'll love you like Jesus loved the church. Glory to God. Amen. That boy, you can, if you want a good husband, you find you one that's going to love you like Jesus loved the church. They out there. You say, well, where they at? They out there. You ain't in the club, though. You can't go to no club looking for no good man. Or woman. Not in the club. Unless they just backslid and they just, you know. Then it's hope. It's hope. It's hope for everybody, but you know, it's just a whole lot of work, you know. If you feel like doing that kind of work, it's a whole lot of work. Whole lot of work. But I'm telling you, there's folks out there. God, see. You be start looking around. Hey, you may not be in the church. God got ways of hooking people up. You minding your business in public, and somebody hit your basket, and you look up. It's Denzel looking like. Goodness. Oh. Yes, I feel you, sister. Amen. You'd be the envy of all your friends. Walking down the aisle and Denzel standing out at the front. Goodness. Girl, you'd be on Facebook for the rest of your life. How did she do it? Well, she came to victory and heard the word. It didn't just happen. Glory to God. It didn't just happen. She came and heard the word. Amen. See, God's promises is our hope. The promise is your hope. If God said he's going to do it, that's your hope. That's your hope. Then he goes on to say, in 20, he staggered not at the promise of God. I ain't staggering. Oh, man, God, that's too much to ask for me to believe. Through unbelief. But the word of God says, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God the whole time. So, you know, a lot of times you don't see, listen very carefully. The how-to is not up to you. It's up to God. All he wants to do is to keep the switch of faith turned on.
Yes.
Amen. Let God determine how he going to bless you.
Yes.
You don't have a set way for God to bless you. He will bless you how he want to bless you. And most of the time you get blessed is always in an unexpected way. You minding your own business. Glory to God. So let God be God and you be you. Amen. Glory to God. The word of God said he didn't stagger. He didn't stagger at the promises of God. Amen. Kept his hope up.
Yes.
Kept his hope up.
Yes.
God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I can't wait to see how it turned out. Amen. And in verse 21, he says, and being fully persuaded. Ooh. Listen, saints of God, you got to be fully persuaded that this word works. And this word, his promises are your hope. Oh, underline that, fully persuaded. That what he had promised, that what God had promised, he, or God, was able to perform. Abraham, no, he couldn't do no surgery to fix Sarah's womb. But God said he'd do it. And if God said he could do it, and he created the first man from scratch and didn't ask none of us how to do nothing, I would imagine he could fix a womb. Glory to God. Now you say, well, Pastor, that's Abraham. That's Bible stuff. Well, we are Bible stuff. Amen. We are Bible stuff. 22, and therefore it was imputed or counted unto him for righteousness. Now, here's your shouting part. Now, it was not written for his sake alone, but it was imputed for him. Verse 24, but for us, everybody say us. Us also, glory to God, to whom it shall be imputed. If it's conditional, the word is conditional, it will work if what? If you do it, if you believe, if you trust in him, if you got faith, if, glory to God, we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. My. Boy, that's a powerful, boy, you ought to just meditate on those series of scriptures there. My goodness. Yes, it is. It's excellent news. Excellent news. My. 1 John. Amen. Most important thing that we do is get saved. The next important thing you do after that is find yourself a good church. Amen. See, we base church on, especially here in the South, on whether or not they got a choir, or a good choir. Because a lot of times people come just to see the choir. They'll come from miles around. You know, it's it's like the Gap Band in town or something. You know, it would come people, OJs or something. Folks come from miles around. There's nothing wrong with a good choir. I believe in good choirs. And then we love preachers that entertain us. Glory to God. You know, if you don't go through two towels, he ain't preach. Then you know, somebody asked you about 6 o'clock. What did the Red preach? I don't know, but it was good. Amen. See, you're going to remember these scriptures. You may not remember exactly where they were or even quote them correctly. But you're going to start talking about what God told Abraham and how Abraham believed it. Glory to God. And that we got the same benefits that Abraham had. Amen. Ooh, goodness sake. 1 John, let me find that. It must be near 2 John. otherwise. First John, my goodness. Chapter 1. Do I want chapter 1 or do I want chapter 3? Oh, yeah, let's go to chapter 3. First John. First John, First John 3, 1, 2, and 3. It says in verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God." Not servants, sons and daughters of God. "Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not." That's why we're not that popular. If you like being popular, Christianity, people going to hate you when you just walk in the room. They don't even know why they hate you, but it's that light darkness thing. Good, evil thing. That's all it is. Don't be mad at them. Don't even respond to the Facebook rants. Let them rant out. Amen. Because that's just the way that it is. You just will not be liked. People start talking about, "Oh, she just thinks she's just all that. She ain't all that." Let them talk. Amen. While you going to the bank 2 or 3 times a week, making deposits. Let them talk. Pookie finna take his car back from him or her. You let them talk. You don't know. Somebody else gonna be driving that car by Friday. Amen. I bet you that won't be on Facebook. Verse 2, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear to what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Ooh, goodness. Going to see him as he is. So don't let anybody distort your view of God. Have a crystal clear view of what God is. Because we live in a society, age now where everything goes. People believe that you got to just put up with everything. Now, we walk in love, but sin has to be dealt with. Amen. Amen. The church is open to everybody, but we ain't celebrating everybody. Everybody ain't getting celebrated now. Glory to God. The word of God will change you if you will allow it to do so. Amen. This kind of hope purifies you. "And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." So you just keep, that's that hope piece. See, every time you come to service here at Vicar Christian Center, your hope gets built up. We come Wednesday, we be teaching something totally different, but your hope get built up. Amen. Until you get to the point where that prayer is answered, the next thing I know, you up testifying. You're going to testify. It's so good, you're going to testify on Wednesday and Sunday. That's how it is. It be happening all the time here. So let's talk about love a little bit. Hopefully I'll finish love. I don't know if we're going to get a chance to finish patience, but we'll start off with patience next time if I don't do so. Now, see, faith works in hope by love. Faith works in hope, but it works by love. See, the more you get to know God, the more you know that he will never, ever, 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 never, ever fail you. Amen. But, you know, we sing all of these songs about how good God is, and in the moment something happened, we start panicking. Oh, I say, well, people don't even believe the songs. They just be singing them. Ushers got to fan you. you know, fell out and stuff, you know, knocking folks' hair off the head and stuff. Goodness. Don't even believe the song. Something happened, you be the first one running. Glory to God. Amen. God's love is just something else. Let me tell you how good his love is. There is nothing bad that you can do that will cause God to love you any less than he loves you now. And on the other hand, there's nothing good that you can do that's going to cause him to love you more, because he's already at max. He's already at max. Amen. And so when you miss it, you know, that's why the enemy make, you know, you just feel so bad. You say, you know, I just can't go into church. They're just going to know it. I'll just be look like I'm guilty. We all guilty. Everybody in here is an except another. We all got history. We all got our spiritual rap sheets that if you could look at it, you say, ooh. If I would have known that, I might have not would have joined. If I know he did all of that. But God purifies. Glory to God. Amen. He purifies. Everybody in a pulpit is an ex something another. No perfect preachers. Amen. Or members. We all shooting for perfection. Some of us closer than others, but we all shooting for it. Amen. So stop coming up with 109 reasons why you don't go to church and just start doing it. Do you go to work every week? Well, yeah, I need to get paid. Well, you need to come to church, too. Amen. You can't do that by how you feel. Well, you know, some Sundays I just don't feel like it. I you know, some Sundays I don't feel that coming. Glory to God. I be wanting to watch the NFL, that early NFL stuff. People be talking about it. I say, what y'all talking about? I'd be in church. I would like to watch that sometime. Get to the game, you know. Go to a 1 o'clock game at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Kickoff. But this is so much more important. Amen. Now God has given me the ability to go to a 1 o'clock game. I ain't that crazy about going to a 1 o'clock game right now. Amen. My goodness, I'm telling you. Glory, glory, glory. Faith works by love. God loves us. 1 John. We're going to close on 1 John. Do we got enough board members to have? Do we have a quorum, Brother Don? Do we have a quorum to meet today? We do? All right. 1 John, we should still be there. Let's go to chapter 4, 1 John 4. My goodness, there's so much to read. First John chapter 4, verse 9 says, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this was manifested." Go to verse 8. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son unto the world, that he may live through us. Herein, we're saints of God, is love." Herein is love. "Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation," which is a sacrifice for our sins. "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Why is it so hard for us to love one another? Amen. See, people think we tight. talking about folks of color. We ain't tight. We killing each other by the dozens and tons. I always tell people, I'm like, I don't go down there. I said, girl, you safer in St. Pete than me. In South St. Pete than me. You know, it's we do each other bad. Some cities, you know, like Chicago, I mean, it's just, just thousands. Just wiped out. And it's brown, it's black and brown. Why can't we love one another? That's the enemy, saints of God. The word of God in John 10:10, the A part says that he is out to steal, kill, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. If we don't understand that, that's why we're not walking in love. That's why enough youth are not in churches and stuff. They got this great big disconnect. Amen. So we have to take the word to them, wherever that is. That's why outreach is so important. You got to have outreach. Not me, you know, sometimes folks just won't walk in the door. You got to find them in the park or under the tree playing dominoes or at the on 22nd Street on Thursday night. You know, if y'all don't know, it get a little wild up there on Thursday night. Between 9th and 9th Avenue and about 7th, between 7th and 9th Avenue, it'd be as they say, crunk. It'd be crunk up there. Glory to God. Pretty interesting. Amen. So folks need to hear the word, but it's all about love, saints of God. Verse 16 in there says, and we have known and believed the love that God has toward us. We know it and we believe it. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein, glory to God, herein, knowing, in other words, knowing and believing, is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we. As he is, excuse me, so are we. There is no fear in love. My. No fear. Amen. That's why I always tell people, I got my heart broke. Well, if you fall in love enough time, you're going to get your heart broke. But don't give up on love. Amen. A lot of times we get our heart broke because we don't listen to all of the sirens that are going off. Saying, danger, danger, danger. But somebody, all we're looking at is fine. All we're looking at is what somebody can do for us financially. But the sirens are saying, danger, danger. And so, everybody's not like that. So, don't be afraid to fall in love. Dion had this song. What was that song? I Never Fall in Love Again. Y'all remember that song? That go way back. Somebody going to Google it and start saying, don't sing it, please. Well, these phones are something else now, aren't they? Goodness. Phones are, you can do research on this phone that I couldn't do in the library in college. God, it's incredible. Yeah, encyclopedias. I had a set of, what was the red ones was called what? No, it wasn't Britannica. What was the other one? World Book. World Book encyclopedias. Should have kept them, but I said, man, these things, too many of them. Threw them out. It was red. And it was probably obsolete the day after they was printed. Amen. That's just the way how fast the world is, saints of God. Let's go to the Gospel of John, and then we'll finish out love, and we'll start next week. I hope y'all are getting blessed. I certainly am. Studying this, I made sure Friday night I was finished studying. I say I had to take control, otherwise, so much stuff happened Saturdays. All that stuff I had to go to the office to do. And John chapter 17. This is a prayer. Oh, it's all about love. Now, see, you have to, gosh, I guess you have to define everything to make it clear. See, most of the time when people think of love, they think of sensuality. And the God kind of love is not sensuality. And that sensual stuff, that's really what gets you in trouble. Amen. Eros, E-R-O-S. That's where the word erotic and erotica come from, the Greek word. So, but we're talking about agape, the God kind of love. Amen, the God kind of love. And that love is something else. And you have to just keep the love switch on, because when people are talking about you, people are criticizing you, people are lying about you, don't even respond to them. Don't even acknowledge that they're even on the planet. Amen. You just love them, but you're going to have to, like my grandma used to say, you have to feed them with a long-handled spoon. You can't let them get too close to you. But you don't waste your time, you know, trying to put them down because they put you down. Just let it go. And that's why there are so many fights in high school, because our teenagers cannot get that wrapped that around their mind. Well, she said, you know, you outside fighting. Everybody only got suspended for 10 days. Now you got to repeat the 11th grade. Was that worth it? Nope. Sure was not worth it. Probably did at the time, but it wasn't. John chapter 17, verse 17. Once again, this is Jesus. This whole chapter 17 is a prayer. You want to learn how to pray? This is a good prayer book here. And it says in verse 17, y'all there? He says in verse 17, he's talking to God now. You know, what is prayer? Talking to who? Prayer is talking to God. Now, remember, when you pray, you don't be trying to sound all classical and all erudite and scholarly. You talk just how you talk, but please don't be cussing. Amen. If you like to cuss, don't bring no cussing into the kingdom, the throne room. Amen. And if you can't stop cussing, just go to God and say, God, just be honest. You say, God, I just like cussing. You don't be lying, so, you know, God, I don't know. You know, I don't be meaning to. You be meaning to cuss? Just tell God you like, you know, every now and then you just like cussing somebody out. You just feel good when you do it. Say, God, I know that ain't right. But when you go in there, because it's like we don't have clothes on. God see everything. He see, and we made out of glass. Ain't nothing you can hide. Why are you going to hide something from God? Where you going to hide it at? Please. John 17:17 says, sanctify them who us, through thy truth, thy word. The word. The word. The word is truth. Amen. In the beginning was the word. The word was who? With God. The word was what? Was God. Amen. So the word has always been around, and the word has always been the truth. So when I'm talking to you, saints of God, and I'm talking out of the word of God, this is the truth. Truth is the highest form of reality. There is no reality higher than the word of God. You can look at all these other religions, but none of them claim to have a savior. Amen. None of them claim that their Savior was killed and raised from the dead, like ours was, and coming back for us. Us who? Us that are saved. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, Even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Glory to God. He's talking about the, just like God sent him, Jesus said, you know, I sent my disciples out. And so now he's praying for the church. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Amen. So when we get an altar call and somebody gets saved, they believe on Jesus based upon the words that I said, or whoever brought them and told them the word before they got here. It doesn't matter who did it. Amen. God get the glory. Amen. God get the glory. Amen. And so that's why, another reason why outreach is so important. And 21, that they all may be one. He don't want us to be arguing at each other, saying to God, if I got sugar in the house and you don't have no sugar, you can have some sugar. Amen. Talking about sugar in the bowl, you know what I'm talking about. You have to make it plain. Ringing the doorbell and say, what? You say... Come on, let's move on. they also may be one. Oh goodness, that they also may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. See, that's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to condemn the world. I don't ever tell people, you're going to hell. Folks already know they're going to hell. They know it. What we got to do is show them how to put the brakes on until they can hear the word of God and receive the word of God to stay out of hell. Hell is more real than the chair you're sitting in. And heaven as well. So, you know, people say, ain't no hell. Well, yes, that's the biggest lie the devil have told that people believe. That ain't. First of all, a lot of people don't believe there's a devil, and they don't believe no hell. How he got people to believe that, I don't know, but I know the word of God says he is a deceiver. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Any of you thinking that there is no consequences dying without being saved? Don't you try that. I will crawl from here to any one of these pews to beg you, if you will get saved, don't you die without being saved. You will not lack the outcome. You will not lack the outcome. And verse 23 says, he says, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me as thou hast loved them. He said, you love me? I want them to know it. I want them to know it, that you love them just like you love me. We got to know it. See, the truth, the word, sanctifies us. Hallelujah. And so you also got to know, as I close, saints, that the Father loves us, and it may be hard to believe, just as much as he loves Jesus. Boy, that is good news. Can you imagine that? The Father loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. My, my, my. Isn't that a good God? Isn't that a good God? You know how tight him and Jesus was. They've been together since the beginning. They've been together since the beginning. And all of a sudden, I got saved. You got saved. Glory to God. God loves a sinner too, but he's not going to make anybody. He will not make you get saved. Won't make you come to church. Won't make you get up to get dressed. You got to have something that's called want to. Amen. See, because when you love, you demonstrate your love by being in the seat on Sunday and Wednesday. Amen. Glory to God. If you're married, you demonstrate your love by how you handle yourself in the relationship with our